First of all, good morning. I know a couple of you are still coming in, but before we get started, I know we just have an hour, so there's a lot of content. First of all, my name's Eamon O'Reilly. I work on System Center, Orchestrator, Service Management Automation, and Azure Automation. And I really appreciate you guys coming this morning. I know there's a lot of different sessions to go to, so I'm hopefully get a lot out of this session. We have some good demos to show, some good content, hopefully, just to get you guys thinking about where is Microsoft going in the automation space, and particularly around what are we doing with our System Center investments in Orchestrator, Service Management Automation. And then you saw this newly launched Operations Management Suite that actually also ties in with System Center, and automation is a key component of that. And so I'll touch on that a little bit as well. First off, I tried to ask a few of you earlier on you know, how many of you are familiar and what you're trying to get out of the session. So maybe just a quick hands, it just gives me an idea on where you guys are at the moment related to automation. So how many in the room are using System Center Orchestrator or Service Management Automation? Great, so it looks like about a third or so. So that's good to see. I'll show you where things are going with that, you know, why we invested in Orchestrator, and then what the future looks like beyond that. And then the other big piece I'm going to spend some time on is, you know, Azure Automation, where we see kind of the longer-term trend in automation happening over the next few years, and how you could actually start thinking about that inside your own organizations. You know, what can you do now that actually sets you up for success in the future as you try to automate a lot of the tasks you do inside the organization? So the overall goal really of the session is, you know, try to give you a feel based on all the discussions we've had, you know, with a lot of customers like you, but actually worldwide, on where is automation going? What are the trends we're seeing from Microsoft in the automation space after talking with a lot of customers? And so I'll spend a little bit of time just on what are those automation trends. Hopefully they'll resonate with a lot of what you guys are doing inside your own organization, but also where you might want to be a year, 2 years, 3 years from now. The other thing I'll talk about is Orchestrator. I know about a third of you are using Orchestrator, Service Management Automation. So I'm going to talk about, you know, where did Orchestrator come from? How can you use it today? What's happening with it as it goes forward in relation to Service Management Automation and our investments in Operations Management Suite? I'll give a quick update on, you know, what are the key kind of changes that are happening inside of Orchestrator SMA in System Center 2016. So you'll see, you know, what we're shipping in 2016, and also where you'll kind of see the level of improvements come out. But I think the main takeaway really is, you know, a lot of this is kind of forward looking, but there's so much available right now. You know, if most of you guys hopefully are starting to move on System Center 2012 R2, if you're not on 2012 R2, definitely a good time to go there. 2016 also will be coming out next year, so that's even a better time to move forward. But there's a lot of investments that we shipped inside of 2012 R2 of System Center, and that we actually shipped inside of Azure, inside of our automation that we just GA'd over the spring. So there's a ton of automation capabilities there. And I think one thing to really think about is, you know, we're kind of doubling down in Microsoft around automation. You'll see a lot of the investments we're doing around the core OS and all these containers and everything else that's coming out. There's no way you're really going to be able to embrace and manage all those things unless you've actually embraced automation of all those capabilities as well. And so I think we're seeing that as we roll out a lot of these new technologies. You know, I think, you know, we have this saying, I think it's been out there for a while, you know, how do you treat something like a pet or like cattle? You know, and a pet used to be like you would know the name of the virtual machine, you'd know what applications are installed on there, and you'd really take care of it. And that was what we've done a lot in the past. You know, we've had a lot of tooling that allow you to kind of see what's going on all these machines and go in and actually fix them and keep them healthy. But the direction that's really happening is a lot of what we're trying to do is not really know what a machine does anymore, and that machine can just be thrown away, brought right back up, you know what state it's in, and it's good to go again. And so that's really where it's almost like cattle. You don't really know what they do, you just know how to kind of manage them all as a herd. And that's one of the directions we're going with all this container technology, you know, core operating system, and all of that is driven by the ability to automate, not just the provisioning, but the maintenance and operational tasks around it. Obviously, that's a lot of newer stuff coming, but it gives you an idea of level of investment in automation you'll want to start with now so that you set yourself up for these technologies as they come out. Okay, so from the automation trend, you know, there's a lot of investments that are going on across Microsoft, particularly in System Center. But the way we ground ourselves from the automation side is we really see kind of two major trends that are happening. And the first is this adoption of cloud technologies. And as people adopt these clouds, it's not just the private cloud. You know, you may have deployed the Windows Azure Pack on your own internal data center. You may have your own private cloud you've rolled out yourself on your data center. Could be using VMware as the back end. or you might be using Amazon and AWS or even Azure clouds. But one thing that's happening is customers really want that flexibility to actually bring in the clouds that they need for their own organization. Because a lot of their own internal teams are saying, I need to go with AWS because it offers this. How can you guys allow me to actually integrate into that and manage it? And so all these clouds, there's really pressure to actually be able to integrate into all these clouds. The other thing that's really happening, and it's been happening for a few years, is this idea around self-service of IT. You know, we used to call it IT as a service, enabling self-service on our services. But the main goal around this is, you know, I think the days of like opening up a ticket and then, you know, watching the help desk and then go ahead and I'll get your machine and then I'll deploy it and I'll let you know in a week or two and then you can actually go and deploy it. Like this is, you know, a lot of customers are still at that state. And there's often good reasons for it because there might be compliance and policies you have to ask and where do you want to get deployed. And so often we really, you know, offer those capabilities to our end users because it's important around how do we maintain and deploy and operate all those machines. But I think what the cloud has really taught us is that if we keep enforcing those type of things, you know, we're not going to be able to meet our own business demand. And they're going to, most of our end users are going to go around IT and they're going to start going to different clouds, maybe directly to Azure, because they can't really wait a week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. And so this whole idea of offering out the internal IT operations as self-service where the user comes in, and they basically fill out what they want, and then behind the scenes, automation allows you to deliver what they actually ask for, but allows you to enforce your own policy and your own compliance on top of it. And so they get this self-service capability they're wanting, but you also get the ability to actually have control and management from the IT side. And that's really that kind of nirvana of you get the cloud, but you also get the ability to actually manage and make sure you're meeting your compliance requirements. And then the other big trend that we're seeing is around DevOps. You know, I don't know if a lot of you are seeing it right now, but the big, you know, push is how do we really make operations and development teams work very closely? And it's not just because it's a nice buzzword. What's really happening is there's pressure on almost every organization and every business to actually iterate very fast. And it's mostly because with all these new cloud technologies coming out, there's startups. You saw a little bit at the keynote where, you know, who is the disruptor? And these disruptors are usually smaller companies who are just iterating really fast on services, and they're putting a lot of pressure on big organizations to adapt to these. And what that means typically is you need to be able to respond quickly to customers, update your applications, you know, take new investments, even if it's from a third-party ISV. How do I bring down those latest technologies so that your end users can actually get the value they need? And so working together with your own developers or the ISVs you're working with and operations, and how do you make that a seamless interaction between those? And one of the things that really drives that is automation. So the other big investment that's happening around automation right now is around modern management. And this, you know, kind of falls into these three major categories. And the first one is really about management as a service. You know, we see a lot of, you know, the keynotes today and all the talks during the week around, you know, what does Azure really offer you? You know, what is the benefits of going to a server compared to just doing everything in your own data center? And it's very similar from an automation standpoint and just management all up. You know, can you actually move your investments today that are currently on the your local infrastructure, move those management up into the cloud so you gain all the benefits of the cloud, but you don't lose any of the controls and any of the flexibility you've had with your data center? The other big push is around heterogeneous environments. So you'll see Microsoft generally is heavily invested now in Linux management, Linux deployments, containers, Docker, all of those type of things. Because I think the world really, the reality of it is, it's not a Windows world or a Linux world or even some other type of OS. Almost every organization we've talked to, probably most of you, are running some variation of some Windows, some Linux, you know, a bunch of other applications in your environment. And so how do you enable management and automation across all those different systems? Because you're not going to be able to get to this single self-service if your systems can't even talk to each other. And siloing off the Linux guys from the Windows guys is not really going to help you long term. And so one of the things we want to do is how do you have a discussion so that you can actually manage across both of those things. And then the last thing to take away from this is, you know, the automation at scale. Most of our customers we talk to, they have some kind of automation going on, usually some PowerShell scripts, or they've got some other things that help them actually maintain and manage their infrastructure. But as you really start to invest more and more and your investments start to go across clouds, you need to be able to have automation that scales with you as you go forward. And so one of the things we're trying to do is give you the tools now that meets your current needs, but sets you up for the future as you invest more and more in automation. The system can actually grow with you and meet your needs as you move forward. Okay, so let me talk a little bit about, you know, how we view automation just from inside of Windows and System Center, really. So at the base of almost all the automation we do today is we have Windows Server as the core. And this is true inside of Azure, but also true inside of everything we deploy around the Azure stack or even System Center with Hyper-V. We have a core set of capabilities that ship inside of Windows Server. And the four main I call out here, there's other things that we offer, but the main four I call out here is PowerShell, obviously, is the biggest one that we've invested in. How many here are familiar with PowerShell or use it? So I thought it's almost everyone. You know, and I think it's become the de facto management of doing Windows. You know, if you're managing Windows and you want to do any kind of automation, PowerShell really is one of the core things you're going to need to know because it has so many capabilities to actually manage all of Windows. But it's moving beyond that as well in the future. The other pieces there is PowerShell Workflow. I'll talk a little bit about that and why it's important. The third one is Just Enough Admin. So that's shipped inside of 2012 R2. And this is really about, you know, you start investing in your automation. How do you make sure that the people who are running your automation are running just what they're allowed to run and not anything more? And so Just Enough Admin gives you that capability to actually apply rights and roles so that they don't actually execute automation they don't have access to. And then the other big investment that's happened across Windows and that you'll see us invest in is desired state configuration. And this is kind of the new world in DevOps, but it also applies to everything you're doing inside your data center. You know, what we typically do with automation, and we've done this in the past, is we'll script out everything. So we'll script out, here's the four VMs to deploy, you know, script in, here's to turn on IIS, copy over this application, you know, install the application, configure some settings, and we just script all that out with PowerShell. But the challenge really with that is, you know, you have to run that and then you're done. You don't really know at the end of it what state it's in, and it's hard to report if it's actually healthy or not. And the idea of moving towards desired state configuration is, it's almost the opposite of doing this procedural step-by-step, the orchestration capabilities we have, and it's about describing what the end result looks like. And so up front, you'll describe what your configuration, what that VM needs to look like, and then the tooling itself, so the desired state configuration agent, will actually go and make it so. And so you'll just describe that, I want the VM to look like this, I want IIS enabled, I want this port enabled, I want this application enabled, but you actually won't go do any of it. You'll just describe it, you'll hand that over to the agent, and the agent will actually go do everything for you. And then if anything changes on the machine, it can report back what's changed, and it can also enforce it. So if someone shut down a port, it would actually go and open it up again. And so you know that machine or that whole set of hundreds of machines is always in the desired state that you've defined. And so it's an area that if you haven't started looking at, it's worth looking at over the next few months because I think a lot of the future around just container management, VM management, all these type of things is going to be based on desired state configuration. Okay, so what do we do with this core kind of technology that Windows Server ships? So on the Microsoft side, we basically have System Center that builds on top of the core Windows capabilities. And there's two things inside of there. There's service management automation inside of System Center, and there's Orchestrator. And so those are the two features we shipped in 2012 and 2012 R2 of System Center. And then on the other side is Azure. And so Azure itself, you know, heavily builds upon Windows Server technologies. But for us specifically in the automation space, we have two things. We have Azure Automation. And Azure Automation basically gives you the ability to automate, orchestrate all of your Azure resources, but also your data center recently. We just added a new capability. And then the other thing that's in Azure Automation is desired state configuration I just talked about. And so this has now the ability, it's only in preview, but you're going to see over the next few months a lot more investments from our side as customers start to get their head around DSC. We want to make sure we have the right capabilities in the service to support them. And so you'll see us roll out more and more capabilities around desired state configuration inside of Azure Automation just in the next few months. And then obviously on the right-hand side, we have partners who build on top of Windows Server as well. We have the OEMs. You know, the one thing that's really good about PowerShell and the Windows Server technology is that almost all of our partners and all of our OEMs and everybody else also embraces that PowerShell. And they typically embrace it by delivering PowerShell modules on top of their own systems. So, you know, if they have a hardware that they want to offer out, they usually have a module or some WMI way to manage it through PowerShell. And this happens from the lowest level, you know, down to the network switches, all the way up to applications they might build. And so by kind of knowing PowerShell, the whole community and all of our partners, OEMs, were all embraced basically on top of that PowerShell. And then there's a bunch of other automation products that are built on top of these capabilities that we offer inside of the OS. And that's where ISVs come in and offer other management solutions. Okay, so how does the System Center automation investments look? And this is where I think things, you know, they get interesting because we built this slide or some variation. I remember building this about 2 years ago. And it was really about, you know, is this going to hold up as we go forward? You know, is this kind of our strategy over the next 2 years? And I was looking at it and kind of updating as we did Azure Automation. And it actually holds true after just talking with so many different customers about what they're trying to accomplish today and what they'd like to accomplish in the future. And I think the three core tenets of automation really is, you know, we've talked in the past, but the one thing we didn't want to lose sight of was it's mostly about integrating systems. That's where the complexity of automation really kicks in. If you just need to spin up one VM, you have total control of it, you know, it's very nice to automate that. It does give you value. But in the reality, especially as you get big organizations and there's lots of management systems, the hardest problem is usually talking to all the systems. How do you integrate these systems together? And so we didn't want to lose sight of that as we move forward. Orchestrator does a really good job with that, but we think we've actually done a better job as we go forward, and I'll talk a little about how that works. And then obviously the second thing after you can actually talk to the systems is the orchestration itself. And this is how do you actually describe how those systems should talk to each other? Is there a language that makes it easy to actually describe how data moves between these different systems? How it integrates into self-service systems. So all of that orchestration capabilities, it needs to exist inside of the tooling. And then the last thing is you need the service to actually just run all the time, be highly available, give you the reporting, give you the diagnostics, the troubleshooting. You know, you're probably going to be betting a lot of your organization on this automation. And so you want to really have the trust that this automation is going to meet your needs. It's not going to just fail halfway through doing something. It's going to recover and give you all those kind of full enterprise or large organization capabilities that you need. And so these three things really, you know, when I looked at the automation trends, they actually don't change on the way we look at the world as we go forward. And Azure Automation actually has a very similar concepts as we go through that in the future. Okay, I'm going to go back a little bit in time just so that you see where Orchestrator is, and I think it's the reason it's important is as you start to see our roadmap as we go forward, it's good to have a little context of where you are today inside of Orchestrator and Service Management Automation. So what we shipped inside of System Center 2012, we actually had a component called Orchestrator, and I know, you know, there's about a third of you that might be using that. And it shipped in 2012 R2, and it'll ship in 2016 as well. And the real power of that was it was based on a graphical authoring experience. And so for, you know, IT administrators who wanted to quickly get in and start, you know, adding value, integrating systems together, we had this drag and drop experience. And it was very powerful. It was a company we acquired that they had built up over 10 years that we actually invested quite heavily before we shipped in 2012. And the product is really stable and it meets, you know, most of customers' needs for the scenarios they're using it in the data center. And had these four core concepts around user interface, authoring, runbook engine integration. And you know, it's, it meets its needs really well. But with the kind of scenarios that Orchestrator was designed for, you know, they don't really change, but it was mostly around monitoring remediation. You know, how do I integrate into different systems so that if an alert comes up, I may need to escalate that alert into my larger service desk. I might want to try to do some automated remediation or log collection on it. You know, I want to update the alert when it comes in. I want to make sure like the SLAs are enforced if it comes and says, you know, the website is, you know, down. How do I escalate to make sure the website comes back up? All these type of things automation is usually used for around monitoring remediation. And then the other part that automation is always kind of talked about is in change control and provisioning. And I actually think this is one of the bigger ones that automation is used for. So if you're going to start off with automation, I think what we've seen most of our customers is they start off with the provisioning part. you know, how do we make it easy for my end users to provision out their application so that they can actually get value? And that's typically where the initial self-service piece would start with. And it's often just, you know, I need four VMs and I need them for, you know, 4 weeks. And, you know, here's the reason, and you can basically destroy them after 4 weeks. Or I need them for, you know, a year, and I'm going to deploy an application on them, and I need this level of compliance. And so that kind of stuff is usually requested through a portal and then enforced through the automation behind the scenes. And then the other big reason to kind of use automation is around all of the patching and updating. You know, I don't know, how many of you guys do patching inside of here? Quite a few, and I bet it's, even with SECM, who's really powerful, it still has its own challenges when you're trying to patch. And typically around that is the orchestration of them. You know, it'd be nice if it was just like the clients and we just rolled everything out and then they rebooted whenever they wanted to and you were up and running. It's not so simple in our data centers, unfortunately, even for us inside Microsoft, is because usually there's like a whole tangled web of dependencies between all these applications. And so you have to figure out, how do I, you know, patch the SQL cluster in the back end without bringing it down? How do I switch things out inside the network load balancer so the website doesn't go down? All of this kind of orchestration has to take place. So it's not as easy as just, you know, delivering the patches and then hoping everything comes back up. And so that's really where we see a lot of orchestration and automation capabilities today, is in that orchestration of patch deployments. But it's used for backup and all kinds of remediation. Almost everything you want to do in your data center, at some point in time, you want to think about, am I really automating this so I can actually deliver it on demand? And so it's kind of the hard question to ask yourself, you know, where do I start? And then where do I want to be? You know, and I advise you to start with something simple, because it just gets your kind of organization, gets you some quick wins, shows the value of it, and then build up over time. Because long term, you're going to have some level of investment. And ideally, almost everything would be automation at some point. But the one thing that's challenging is, so that orchestrator is really good for the data center. But then we started to bring out all these clouds as part of 2012, particularly in R2. And one of them was this private cloud we call the Windows Azure Pack. And then we started to see customers roll stuff on top of OpenStack. Obviously, VMware has been around for a long time. And just the amount of management integration you had to do in automation just grew really fast in the last few years. And so you're no longer maybe just managing your own kind of data center and all Microsoft capabilities in there. You now have to kind of manage across all these different systems, but the same challenges around patching and VM deployment, everything you did actually just increased. And then when you add in other clouds like Azure and then public clouds like Amazon or even service provider clouds, the complexity just increases. So it's kind of nice, like the end users we're servicing, you know, they have all the flexibility now, but you know, IT is basically responsible for still maintaining all of these different systems and making sure our policies and compliance, it all exists. And it just becomes more and more work if you don't actually start to take a step back and say, I need to be able to offer these out, but I want to offer them out in a controlled, automated way. And that's really where the products we're investing inside of System Center and Azure gives you the ability to do. Okay, so people you know, who are using Orchestrator today, when you think about Orchestrator, it kind of breaks into these four major areas. You know, we have the engine, we have the management, we have integration capabilities, and then we obviously have the user interface. But Orchestrator, you know, in some ways it's ideally built for that data center, but then once you actually go beyond the traditional stuff you might do in your data center, you know, it starts to show, you know, its age a little bit. And it's really not easy to update any one part of it. It's kind of a tangled web. It really works well, but to change it is actually very difficult. And so we've been adding little features and enhancements along the way. But just the asks from our customers goes across the entire, from the engine to the user interface to our integrations. You'll see a list, and if you used Orchestrator, eventually you'll start running into some of these. You know, it works really well for your data center. Once you get off the data center and you really start doing more and more automation, these type of things are going to come up. And they come up across the entire product. And so we wanted to take a step back. And this is a little bit, you know, where you see the roadmap going. Is when you think about Orchestrator, its engine was actually a custom engine that we acquired. And so it wasn't a core kind of workflow engine that we had inside the organization. We spent a lot of resources trying to update and maintain that thing. And it had a lot of drawbacks, and some of those were shown in the other slide. And so we said, okay, let's take a step back and where do we want automation to be 2, 3, 5 years from now? And then when I talked to most of your customers, I know I put asked people to raise their hands on who was familiar with PowerShell, and it was almost most of the room. And I think the reality, you know, for us was that we really wanted to build on the PowerShell investments that are going on. You know, Microsoft's heavily invested in PowerShell over the last few years. I think our customers, like you, have heavily invested in PowerShell over the last few years. So how do we actually bring the marriage of kind of the automation, the management capabilities with the core technology of PowerShell? And so this is really where you start to see service management automation come out, was we still wanted some PowerShell workflow capabilities because a lot of asks that customers have was around reliability and checkpointing. And so we said we'll start with the PowerShell workflow because that gives us all of those abilities that Orchestrator just didn't have. And then we actually built on top of this a layering approach of management. So this is what turns kind of a technology into a product. You know, PowerShell is a great technology. It works really well for what you're trying to do, but when you're trying to do things at scale and management, that's where you need a lot more capabilities. And that's where the centralized store we offer. So all of your credentials, you don't have to hard code in your scripts anymore. You know, you don't have to put them on a file share and then open them up or try to integrate into some other system. You can actually secure all of your credentials inside of our store and only use them at runtime. Similarly around highly available, you know, if a lot of people have their scripts on a file share and then they have a machine with some scheduler that just kicks off and then runs them. But, you know, that machine goes down, you're really in trouble. And oftentimes, you know, you don't really have it high available and it just happens that it stays up a lot and so you're good to go. But it's not really the way to kind of manage long-term investments in automation, especially when your end users are dependent on it. So the more you invest in automation, the more you better make sure that it's highly available and can actually stand up to the amount of load you push on it. And then there's no point doing a bunch of automation if you can't actually tell if it's successful. And so a lot of our customers we work with, you know, the big question you get is, you know, how do I define my ROI? So what's my return on investment on this automation? And so we have a lot of historical data that allows you to actually tell, you know, what's being run a lot, which automations are really successful. You know, so this allows you to kind of look and say, okay, these are the type of automations that are making my organization successful. These other ones aren't so much. And that allows you kind of to iterate and actually show the value you have through automation. Okay, so after we kind of bet on PowerShell, that was kind of a big decision we made about 3 years ago. The nice thing about it is we went back to that sheet you saw earlier about all the challenges customers were having at Orchestrator as they moved into different clouds. And we said, if we're going to move to a technology, we better make sure we actually address most of the concerns customers have with the technology we have out there today. And so we went through and we said, okay, how many of these can we address with service management automation and Azure automation initially? And you see, we actually could address quite a few of them. So we wanted to get all the benefits of Orchestrator, but actually start to check off, you know, the biggest challenges you have with Orchestrator today. And so we're not all the way there. That's kind of where we're heading over time. There's a bunch of new things coming out. But you can see we actually made good progress. And the nice thing about it is, since we own the whole stack with the PowerShell team, it really allows us to iterate very quickly on this. You know, you can see the PowerShell team, they release the Windows Management Framework a lot more frequently now, and so that gives you the ability to get updates. You know, we're also following that model as we go forward, where we're going to continually update the automation capabilities. So you'll start to see all these challenges you have. You give us that feedback, we can actually release an update a lot faster and work through this backlog. Okay, so this is what we shipped in System Center 2012 R2. I know I was encouraging people to go to R2 if you're not there, but one of the benefits of going to this, if you're willing to bet on PowerShell, is you'll actually get service management automation as part of System Center 2012 R2. And so all those benefits you saw earlier, they're actually available to you. But the one downside you don't have at the moment is you don't have the graphical authoring experience inside of service management automation. And so you kind of have to make a decision at the moment is, you know, am I doing traditional data center automation? And if I am, do I need to have the graphical authoring experience? And it is very powerful. Do I need that for my staff, for the people I work with today who may not really know PowerShell? And if that's the decision you need, then Orchestrator is definitely the product to use in the near term. And then you'll talk about, you know, where the future of this, that is over time. But if you want to gain some of those benefits and you're going to start to do multiple cloud management, you know, service management automation on premises is the way to go inside of 2012 R2. And you'll see it's also the way to go in 2016. Okay, so that was kind of the history of where we started and where we ended up in 2012 R2. But one of the things we wanted to get to was, you know, automate any cloud on any OS. So this goes back to a little bit of those, you know, what are the core trends we're seeing? And we wanted to build a capability so that no matter what clouds you had adopted, Azure, your own private clouds, third-party clouds, you actually could integrate and manage all of those. And then the second thing is, independent of the operating system, how do you actually integrate and automate all those capabilities as well? And so what we ended up building was an initial release of Operations Management Suite. And so you probably saw this show up at the keynote last night. You know, as one of those line items in kind of the data center area was, you know, a new thing we released over the summer called Operations Management Suite. And it's really designed to manage any OS, any cloud as a service from the cloud. And so if you have System Center, kind of it's an add-on to System Center where you can actually start to manage across multiple clouds now. Or if you don't have System Center, you just want to use it, you can actually use it to manage across any OS, any cloud, basically using the pay-as-you-go model that Azure has. But let me just jump over in case, I suspect most of you have not seen this, so I'm going to just give you a quick view of it. I can ask, has anyone tried out Operations Management Suite? Good. We have two or three. That doesn't suspect me. It's pretty new, but it is an area for you guys to look at because automation exists inside of this suite now, and also you'll see a lot more investments over time come in here. And so one of the things you'll see if you scroll down is log analytics is in there. So this is basically how do you bring all the data inside your data center and all your clouds into one place and allow you to do deep correlation and deep search basically in real time across all that data. And if anybody who has challenged with operations management or operations manager on premises today, you know, where the data gets so large that it can really start to slow down, I would definitely take a look at the log analytics capabilities in OMS because it can really suck in that data. And because it's built on a cloud technology, you'll see it's lightning fast, not just on the data source you're looking at, but across data sources. Obviously, the automation is the focus I have for today's session, but we have backup and recovery inside of there. Also security and compliance, and you'll see more and more services and capabilities roll out inside of Operations Management Suite. And if you log in, I would encourage everybody to log up. There's a free trial just to try it out, but if you do log in, you're going to see a portal basically like this. And this portal allows you to do your alert management. So these are alerts that flow from Operations Manager, but it does a bunch of stuff like change tracking, configuration assessment, security update assessment. And then from the automation standpoint, it'll show you, you know, what automations are happening inside of your OMS. And from here, you can basically click on Manage, and this brings you into the portal where our new Azure portal is today. So today, we don't have them integrated together. Operations Management Suite has its own portal, but we link you into the new Azure portal from there. Over time, you'll start to see these integrate more and more together. But it's quickly you can get over inside of the Azure automation. And so I'm going to go into kind of some demos around this in a few minutes, but just to kind of level set everybody on how this works. So if you're familiar with Orchestrator and Service Management Automation, this is basically the cloud version of all of that plus a bunch of other capabilities built in. And one thing you'll see here at the moment is we basically have resources. And so the type of resources we have at the moment are runbooks. And so runbooks are basically PowerShell workflow. And we also support graphical runbooks inside of the server. So this one allows you to graphically author everything or PowerShell workflow. And we are going to be coming out with PowerShell support too over the next few weeks. So if you just want to use native PowerShell, you can also bring PowerShell into the servers and start using it directly there. From the asset standpoint, so this is where you manage everything that you don't want to hard code inside of your runbooks. So if you have a bunch of credentials you want to store and reuse across your runbooks, you can store them in here, and then at runtime, you'll bring those assets directly in to actually connect up systems and actually go and manage them. Similarly around connections, how do I talk to that ServiceNow system? How do I talk into VMware? How do I talk into VMM? All of those connections can be stored inside of your assets, and then you just use them at runtime from your automation scripts. And the whole idea is don't hard code anything into your runbooks. you know, bring everything, store them in these central assets, and then bring them in as you need to. So if your password changes, you just change it once here, and then all of your scripts and all of your runbooks just pick it up automatically and keep going. Obviously, you can manage all your jobs inside of here as well. So if you want to see thousands of jobs that you've run and go troubleshoot them, you can actually do that from inside of here. And the other thing that we just released over the summer was hybrid workers. So in the past, when we've released Azure Automation, we only gave you the ability to manage Azure. And so we basically had a story of, if you're doing on-premise data center, use Orchestrator or SMA. If you wanted to just manage Azure or Amazon or some public-facing cloud, then use Azure Automation. But that's not really where our customers want to be long-term. They want to have one automation solution that they can manage all of their clouds with, independent if they were on-premises or in the public cloud. And so how we actually started to go accomplish that was we built a capability called hybrid workers. And what these allow you to do is to deploy these inside your own infrastructure. And so now you can manage your entire infrastructure from the cloud, as well as manage your Azure, AWS, anything else that's out there, can all be managed from one place right now. And that's basically because of these hybrid workers that we introduced. I'm not going to go into the DSC much. I'll touch on it. But this is basically our desired state configuration capabilities. And you know, there's a whole kind of session on this. There's a bunch more investments that are going on. But if you want to play around with desired state configuration, you can today. And the whole idea is you roll this desired state configuration, and we give you all the management around DSC. So DSC is a really powerful technology in Windows. But if you want the management and the scale, that's really when you want to look at Azure Automation, because we have our own pull service in there. We have reporting, diagnostics, all of those capabilities are rolling out. Okay, so let me switch. Hopefully that just gives you, I'll come back here in a second and kind of show you a couple of scenarios. But this is kind of the landscape of where our big investments are over the next few months and what's available today. So all this is out live today, and you can actually go and use it. Okay, so this is basically Azure Automation. You saw kind of the core capabilities we had inside of Orchestrator and Service Management Automation. So obviously, we've been in this space for quite a few years. You know, it's been PowerShell for a good over 10 years, but just the management products like System Center 2012, R2, and now 2016, we've actually learned a lot around what automation is for our customers as we go forward. And all of those, you know, things we've learned, we've brought into Azure Automation as we build it out. And so you can see here, I've introduced the hybrid worker. So now you can manage everything on premises. Doesn't really matter what it is or what system you're talking to. We've introduced workflow capabilities that give you some checkpointing, some other highly available capabilities, as well as desired state configuration. We've brought over graphical authoring and now PowerShell authoring, so that you can actually, doesn't matter what your organization needs. You know, I see a lot of customers, I use it myself, where I'll often use graphical authoring at the higher level, because I want to see what my process is. I want to understand what systems I'm talking to. But the low-level actions I perform on those systems, I usually will fall back into PowerShell because it has more flexibility, you know, of doing more work on the data than maybe I would have if I just did it all graphically. And so the ability to kind of mix and match is a really powerful concept that is now introduced inside of Azure Automation. And then obviously Windows and Linux. So you'll see inside of Azure Automation, we actually ship with native SSH support. And so there's a module that's built in that allows you to connect into any Linux machine and run all those commands just like you would normally do if you did SSH session into those. And this allows you really to manage not just Linux up on Azure, but anywhere that those machines might be, you can actually run those against your Linux environment. So I think some people are wondering, you know, why did we build an Azure Automation and not on Service Management Automation? Because if you look at our timelines, we kind of built Orchestrator, then we built Service Management Automation. That was our big investment in R2. And then from there, we started to build out Azure as customers started to adopt more of the Azure capabilities. But the one thing that was really enlightening as we built out Azure Automation was it gave us the ability to quickly iterate. Because we owned the service and we got all of the data coming in around what customers were doing and what they needed, we actually could iterate. So now we release literally every week, every 2 weeks, every month. There's new and more stuff that's going out. And it's usually based on what customers tell us they need out of the service. So typically, you know, with System Center Orchestrator, Service Manager Automation, you would get those once a quarter with our URs. Whereas now you can get them weekly, monthly. Just our ability to update has completely changed. And so kind of the path we're doing is we're going to prove it out in the cloud, so this kind of cloud-first thing that's talked about, and then bring it back on-premises for those customers who can't use the cloud yet. But our main goal is always invest in the cloud first. That's where you're going to see the innovation as we go forward. So here's a whole list of things that we've introduced and we're improving as we go over the next few months. So I mentioned our hybrid capability, and it's really important because this gives you the ability to actually say, I'm going to invest in my automation on premises, but what would the roadmap look like? Can I actually move to Azure Automation over time as my organization starts to go to the cloud? And can I actually manage everything I used to manage on premises from that unified automation capability? And with the hybrid runbook workers, you basically can do that today. And the nice thing about them is there's a whole kind of a blog series on them if you want to go deep into how they work. But you don't have to open up ports for us to connect in. The hybrid workers are basically looking for work back in our service. So they're going back up through AD outbound to actually get their work and then perform it. And there's a whole security thing you can read about how it's locked down and how we encrypt everything. But it really opens up, gives you the ability to have control over what actually happens inside your data center, but all centrally managed from the automation service up in Azure. Okay, so let me jump in and give you a quick demo of how this hybrid thing works, just so if you try this out, you know where to go to. All right, so one of the things I kind of wanted to show was, let me see if I go back here. You see, I have a hybrid worker. And I have a group, and it's actually running on my service management automation computer back in Redmond. So this is not on the internet. This is a machine that I have in my own environment, but I've connected up. And for high availability, I could have like AminOS and A1, 2, 3, 4, but I'd give them all the same group. So I'd give them all the Contoso group name, and that gives you high availability on top of your hybrid workers as well. And if I actually go in, so I can show you what it looks like if I remote in here. So here is this AminOS SMA1. And you know, it's definitely running inside of CorpNet. You can see it in Microsoft. And there's basically a module we ship that allows you to register this. So you can see that there's basically add hybrid runbook worker and remove. There's documentation. I want you to go through all this. But this basically allows you to say, I want this computer to be part of a group that is available to Azure Automation. And it registers itself up there with keys and certificates. And then now it can run all of the automation. So let me actually go and kick off something against here. So if I go back up here and I go into my runbooks, I'm actually going to go and kick off a System Center Orchestrator runbook that's on premises from Azure Automation. And so here you can see I have a start System Center Orchestrator runbook. This one is published and it's available up on Script Center. So you can just import it directly into your environment without changes. And then I'm going to invoke that runbook and pass it some information. So here, this is just standard PowerShell. And you can see I'm targeting my orchestrator machine. And I want to call a runbook called getComputerConfig, and I just pump out results. But what's going to happen here is, hopefully people can see this, but this is Orchestrator. I know not everyone's familiar with it, but this, I mean, it looks really cool, and it is. So it has all the ability to kind of automate all your data center pieces, just doing, you know, a bunch of automation inside of here. But one of the things I do is I'm just doing it for the purposes. I have a script here that allows me to run PowerShell, and then I return the data back up, you know, from that PowerShell script. And if I wanted to look at that, you know, all I'm doing is getting process and converting it back. This is just some PowerShell. But the idea, this is actually running inside of my data center. And on the left-hand side, you can see I could have a bunch of automation that exists today. But I'm going to kick off this automation and see what happens. So I can actually go to the test pane here. I'll show you a couple of ways to do it. So you can see I ran this earlier, but I can actually go and select hybrid worker. So inside of the testing experience, we now have the ability not just to run this in Azure. So the default is we'll run everything in our service. So if you don't want to have a dependency, we'll take care of all the high availability, do everything for you. If you want to get inside your own data center, that's when you'll register these hybrid workers. And now you can select which group. So I could actually register different groups and then target them from inside of here. So I'll just click on start. And what it'll do is it'll actually go and target that machine. You can see it's queued. But the nice thing about it is it's not only available, obviously, from the testing experience, but if I wanted to go and actually kick this off even inside of the published one, I could just go to start. I won't save any changes. And this also gives them the ability to actually run this all the time up on my hybrid environment. And so again, I would just select hybrid and select the group. And you basically will have the ability to put these on schedules, whatever you need to do. You'll always have this hybrid functionality available to you inside of your the automation service. And the nice thing, if I actually showed you Orchestrator, I don't know if it's been kicked off yet, but you can see I did one earlier. And you can see it was just kicked off automatically from there. And it just runs, and eventually the data will get returned back. I might come back later when I show the demo, and you'll see how everything just kind of goes from the Azure service. So how the process basically works is I kick it off from up here. It's going to hit my hybrid worker, which is this computer. So this is inside my environment. This is kind of my jump box. And then from this, I can actually manage anything inside my data center. But I'm actually from here just calling over to Orchestrator, and it's going to manage everything inside the data center. And so as you move forward, you may want to say, I'm going to bet on Orchestrator, but then eventually I want to move into Azure Automation. You can actually start to do that, and you wouldn't have to bring all your investments at once. You could actually say, for my cloud-based investments, I'm going to start moving them into Azure Automation. For all my existing ones, I'm going to leave on premises for now and maybe move them over time. And that's one of the benefits that hybrid workers give you. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of the roadmap stuff as we go forward here. So the one thing about orchestration investments move forward. So I know there's about a third of you that are using Orchestrator or Service Management Automation. And so what does kind of the roadmap look like over the next year for 2016 and beyond? So we wanted to make it easy for customers to either stay on Orchestrator Service Management Automation, but also give them the ability to move towards the cloud. So as they embrace Azure clouds or other clouds, can they move their investments in automation to those clouds as well? And so we actually have integration pack converters. So everything that's shipped inside of Orchestrator, you can actually convert, bring it into Azure Automation, and start using it inside of there again. And this basically comes into three different ways. We have the integration packs we ship. So this allows you to talk to every System Center product easily, talk to all the Windows Server products like Active Directory, Exchange, but also our third party that we've worked with. So all of those kind of built-in integration packs in Orchestrator, you can actually export, import into Azure Automation, and those things are available today. And similarly, all the ones we shipped inside of Orchestrator, the standard activities we call them, mostly for manipulating data, doing some random tasks, all of those are also available to download and import into Azure Automation. And then what you'll start to see is we'll actually start working on runbooks over time as well, and you'll be able to bring your runbooks out of Orchestrator and import them into Azure Automation. And it's not really about, you know, telling everybody move automatically now, but we want to make sure we set you up so as you start to invest in Orchestrator, you know over time I might want to start bringing things into the cloud. Am I going to have the capability to do that over time? And so a lot of the investments we're doing is making sure that everything you invest in carries forward as you go forward. And so you'll see today, actually, if you want to try this out and you're using Orchestrator, you could actually download these integration packs, the converter, as well as the standard activities. I'm actually going to show you that in a second. Import them into Azure Automation and start to move over all of your runbooks from Orchestrator to Azure Automation if you wanted to. And you're going to see the runbook converter come out in the next month or two. So you'll be able to export things from Orchestrator, import them into Azure Automation, and start using them. And then obviously, the System Center 2016 release next year, that's when everything will go RTM. So we've kind of started earlier. We're giving ourselves quite a few months for feedback and make it better. But we'd love to see customers who are using Orchestrator, want to move to Azure Automation, give us feedback on that. It'll definitely help us out. Okay. So let me jump real quick into kind of another demo just to show you a little bit of Orchestrator, but also a little bit of how you move things into the automation service if that's the path you go. All right, so I'm going to go back into my System Center Orchestrator environment again. And for those familiar with it, you basically have folders over here. And you can create as many runbooks as you want. And so I have a runbook inside of here, a very simple one, that basically logs data to an external data source. I generate a random password. I mark success. And then I get all the log data out of it. And I just built this one really to kind of showcase the tooling we have available in our migration. And the idea behind this, I don't know if people are familiar with it, but there's actually a pretty big community around Orchestrator and integration packs. So this logging one, I have this standard logging over here. I actually got off CodePlex. So this didn't ship, we don't ship this thing from Microsoft, but a lot of customers use this. And so how do we make sure that investments that were made by the community or by customers using our SDK could actually be brought forward? And so this is basically an integration pack that I want to move forward without actually owning the source code or anything else for it. And this generate random text, this one actually allows you to generate, usually used for generate random password. So you might have a new user onboarding scenario in your organization, and as part of that new user onboarding, you need to generate a password and add it to AD. And so a lot of these kind of built-in activities allow you to build up those solutions using what we call standard activities. But let me show you how to move all of this information and data over into Azure Automation. So if you download the SDK, so there's if you search for Orchestrator Integration Pack, you'll see migration tools up on the web today. And one of them allows you to point to an integration pack that lives in Orchestrator and bring that over to Azure Automation. So I'll see if I can just select the file. I did it earlier, so I'm hoping it's still around. And I think I called it community IPs. So this is an integration pack I just downloaded from the web. And it was on CodePlex, and then I imported it to my system, and that's what I'm using over here. But what I'll see here is Charles Joy. So it's someone from Microsoft, but it's not actually someone from the Orchestrator team. I just know Charles, and he was kind of a fan of Orchestrator, so he rolled a bunch of stuff, and he put it up as open source up on CodePlex. You can see when it goes to next, it can't find these files. And if you look, you'll see what one of the errors is. It can't find the actual file it needs. And how I solved this was I know it's just looking for the binaries. We have error messaging if you click into it. But if I go like add assembly, I just search for these binaries on the machine, and I found them in this location because that's where they got installed by the integration pack. I just selected it, and now everything goes green. And so this basically tells me I'm able to move this integration pack I had on premises, and it gets packaged up as a PowerShell module, and it gives us the ability to actually install it inside of Azure Automation. So I'll just save it there. And it's done. And so now, basically, that third-party integration pack and Orchestrator, it's in a zip folder that I can actually import into Azure Automation. And so let me jump over into Azure Automation and show you what that looks like. Okay, so if I go back into the automation account, I'm going to show you these assets. Because what's interesting is there's actually a couple of assets in here that show you how to use those migrated activities. So the first one you'll see over here is I actually imported one called Microsoft System Center Orchestrator.activities. And this gives you all of those standard activities out of the box, like compress file, compress compare numbers, check for schedules, all these things you want to do. And then the standard one, standard logging, I've actually also imported into the system. So both of these used to only exist inside of Orchestrator, and now they exist inside of Azure Automation and can get used just like you would any other module in the system. But to kind of prove out that it was working, I actually wanted to build a runbook that worked very similar to what I saw just on premises. So here you can actually see that we have the ability to author the runbooks graphically as well. So if you remember what it looked like back in Orchestrator, it looked very similar to this, really. You know, you can see that it started logging, it generated some random text, finished logging, and then it copied out the data of all the logging, so you could actually see it. And I just write out the output of the logging. But how I got all these activities, I basically was able to just use the standard commandlets over here. So if you remember that logging one that I imported, it's a very extensible model. So all of those standard activities are available to you inside of here. So that's, you know, start, stop, all that logging, I can just add to Canvas and then start configuring that automatically inside of here. If I clicked on one of these, how the parameters work, so those familiar with PowerShell, this will probably look familiar. But there's usually information you need on the configuration. So the first one is, what system am I connecting to? So there was a standard connection object that was built in Orchestrator. That got brought forward, and I actually configured it to write to my custom database. I can show you that in a second, but I just have to select it now. So everything you want to do is just mostly forms-based authoring. The one thing we don't have at the moment is forms-based authoring for all of the properties. And so currently, these are just basically a PowerShell hash table. But over time, you'll start to see where these are also forms-based, so you could just select them. And then the other thing is this generate random text. This was also brought forward. And you can see here, you know, what's the length requirement? So I said, oh, I want the length to be at least 20 characters. I want, you know, 4 minimum case, minimum numbers. I didn't how many symbols, all these type of things. This activity doesn't exist in PowerShell. But because it existed in Orchestrator, I converted it over and imported it. All of that functionality now from Orchestrator is actually available inside of Azure Automation as well. And it just runs just by doing a very similar thing you would inside of Orchestrator. And if I actually go and look at one, I can go to a job. And you can see I kicked it off this morning, and it just actually went and run. And it went back into Orchestrator, did all of the, this one just generated random text. And you can see if I look at the output, I might be able to see it. There it is. So this was all the log files that ran. Here's a random password that got generated. And all of this ran inside the hybrid worker as well. And so it ran on premises, but it did exactly what I did in Orchestrator, up in Azure Automation. But now we have the full functionality of PowerShell plus the full functionality of graphical authoring combined together, so you can mix and match as you need to. And so this is really kind of the power that Azure Automation brings, is the flexibility of Orchestrator plus the power of PowerShell unified together into one place. And so we're still developing this actively, but a lot of it is GA'd right now. So all the PowerShell capabilities are GA'd. The graphical authoring, we're iterating on from the beta side, but over the next few months, you'll really see that meet what Orchestrator does and then surpass it as we go forward, because it allows us to iterate really quickly. All right. Okay, so the roadmap, the actual title of the session, where are we going with all this stuff? I wanted to give you kind of a history of where we were before, plus all the new stuff coming out, because I think that's the context to keep in your mind as you start to look at automation for your own organization now. But where are we going to be a year, 2 years, 3 years from now? How do you kind of think, you know, about where I want to invest in, and how is Microsoft and how is Windows Server and System Center also thinking about that problem? And so here's kind of the major investments that are happening. So for Orchestrator, it's shipped inside of 2016. The thing has been it's been hardened for so many years. We don't actually see a lot of bug fixing, but any kind of customer bug fixing that are coming in, we're fixing those as they come in. The one thing we're not doing is a lot of those big feature investments you saw on that first slide. Those are the type of things we're not really invested in Orchestrator right now. we probably don't need them for most customer scenarios, but we do know when you start going to clouds and multiple clouds, they start to kind of come in, and that's when customers really like them. At that point in time, we think the best thing is to move towards the new technology of either service management automation or actually Azure automation from the cloud, if at all possible. But it will get continued updates. It's going to get all the roll-ups. You'll see we release these every quarter ourselves, and it'll work against the latest technology inside of Windows Server and all the System Center components. So the service management automation, so we ship this as part of the Windows Azure Pack, and so it would also ship in 2016. But the nice thing about service management automation is because it's basically a lot of the core technology we have inside of Azure Automation, it was built on the right stack that allows us to kind of innovate in that space as well. And so the one thing we've changed is as we innovate inside of Azure Automation, we get your feedback, you know, we get a lot of our customers using it, we harden it, we make sure it's right. It gives us to prove it out up there, and then we're going to, you know, look to see, okay, what can we bring back inside of Service Azure Automation for customers who just can't go to the cloud yet? Because we know there's quite a few customers who are still dependent on their automation running inside of their own data center, but they still want some of those benefits that we're actually offering outside in our latest technology in the cloud. And so we'll be looking to bring some of those back over the next year before System Center goes out. So you'll start to see these over the next several months. But if you want to get kind of an insight into, you know, what's happening, I would look into Azure Automation. And as things start to show up there, you know, that's really what we start to bring back on premises. Not everything, but over time, you'll start to see the core pieces you need inside the data center. The last one is really where, you know, you'll see the most innovation right now. And this is kind of where, if you think about what our North Star might be inside of the System Center Windows Server, you know, we really do see as customers start to adopt cloud technologies that their management and their automation management is also going to move to the cloud. And so we want to make sure we're ready as you start to think about moving things forward. So that's really where you're going to see the latest innovation. You know, the biggest trends of our investments are going to show up there. But we know a lot of you might start with Orchestrator Service Management Automation, knowing eventually you might get there yourselves. And so we want to make sure we have the capabilities ready for you. But if you are, you know, if you're one of those companies who, you know, is heavily invested in Azure or heavily invested in AWS and you're willing to go with the latest and greatest, that's really Operation Management Suite shows up. You know, if you're at that kind of an organization who's bleeding edge, you want to be the automation guys, you want to automate, you want to take advantage of everything, you know, OMS is always ready for you now. You just need to be able to work very closely and be using the latest technologies all the time. So it'll force you to install latest technologies to use it, but you'll also get the benefits straight away. Okay, so from the roll-up standpoint, you know, the way Orchestrator and SMA work is that we have these what we call update roll-ups. And so every quarter we ship out an update roll-up on top of our core technologies. And so we just shipped one recently for System Center 2012 and also for Service Management Automation. And so you're going to continue to see these update roll-ups. But the reality is the products are very stable. Like Orchestrator is very stable. SMA is actually very stable. And so we don't see a ton of customer issues related to it. And so kind of the fixes we're doing, we only do a few every single UR, even though we literally have, you know, hundreds and not thousands of large organizations using these products inside their data center. They're holding up really well. But a lot of times it's because they've constrained the automation to just their own data center. Integration pack fixes. So there's a whole list of these integration packs I talked about earlier and how you can migrate those over to Azure Automation. These ones ship inside of Orchestrator. And so again, these are the ones Microsoft publishes, and we're going to continue to update and address, you know, core fixes inside of each of those as we go forward. And these will start to roll out now and then continue to get updated before 2016 releases. But you can see on the website, there's a whole list of integration packs we have. But if there's anyone in particular you're looking for, let me know, give us feedback, and we can actually hopefully just go and fix that if there's an issue with it. And we fixed a bunch across these already. So there is a lot of investment that's happening across SMA and Orchestrator inside of 2016. But if there's specific things you're blocked on or have questions on, you know, letting us know allows us to either update it in the roll-up or deliver it inside of 2016 when it comes out next year. Okay, so, you know, what's the next big thing? I talked about, like, where are we going with all this automation stuff? You know, we're just not stopping. As the more and more demand comes from our customers to automate everything, there's more and more capabilities that are required. And the nice thing about the cloud and our ability to release that is you're going to see these literally in the next 2 or 3 months. So there's been asks around, how do I integrate with my source control systems? You know, I want to be able to, I'm writing all this PowerShell, I'm getting pretty sophisticated, I want to be able to manage and integrate this into my source control. And so that's going to be coming out. How do I have rich role-based access on top of this? So I can have my Active Directory guys manage their automation because they may have passwords and secrets they want to maintain. But my network guys, they also want their automation capabilities. And then so do my guys who own the storage. And they don't want to share all their assets and all their runbooks. They want to manage their own and then offer out those to people to use them. So all of that role-based access control is actually coming out literally in the next 2 or 3 weeks up in Azure. And so you'll be able to say, for this automation account, these are the roles that are available. So these will include the standard Azure roles that exist, plus we're adding our own role called the operator role inside of Azure Automation that you can apply onto these automation accounts. There's a bunch of work. I talked about native support for PowerShell. You're going to see that come out. And so today we support PowerShell workflow. But in the next week or two, you could literally have any PowerShell, and you can just import that into our system and run it just like you would PowerShell workflow. Obviously, this has a ton of benefits because the amount of content out there on PowerShell is just massive. So now all of that you can just bring in. But obviously, you don't gain some of the benefits workflow has. And so you may want to mix and match these depending on what your scenario is. But this is one of the biggest requests we had from customers, and that's what we're investing in. Similarly, from the gallery, I don't know if any of you are familiar with PowerShell Gallery. So there's new PowerShellGallery.com that shipped that basically has all, not all, but nearly all of the modules available for PowerShell. We actually allow you to integrate that system directly into Azure Automation now and pull in all that data. Okay, so let me finish up here because I know we're running late. So the one automation solution, this is basically what we're going to end up with over the next few months. And our goal is to give you guys a roadmap of where we are today, what investments you can do in Orchestrator SMA, but also as you think about the cloud, knowing you can bring your investments towards there if you need to. And this is the last slide, and it's mostly around our cadence. I talked a lot about why we think it's important to go cloud. And it's not only because we think that gives you the flexibility of all the different capabilities, but it also gives us the ability to innovate quickly and get feedback. And so this is how you're going to see the investments over time. We're going to bring them into the cloud and then bring them back on premises. So if you can't depend on the cloud, you can still get those core capabilities. Okay, so I'm going to finish up because I know we're late. But here's the kind of core pieces you're going to see out of the automation. The major takeaway is I would use R2 today. So if you have Orchestrator SMA, those things I would invest in, leverage them. If you're thinking about going to the cloud, I would really take a hard look at Azure Automation. That's where you're going to see the biggest investments. But know that the work you do today will carry forward as you go there, and that there will be investments inside of Orchestrator SMA as part of the 2016. So it kind of gives you the confidence to invest now, knowing that the roadmap, the core technology, will actually carry forward and be useful in 2016. Okay, so that's it for the session. I'm going to be over in the hub if you've got any questions, because I know we're running late. Please stop by and let me know. I'd love to get your feedback on what's missing, what you're looking for, and then from there I'll take some other questions as well. But anyway, thanks everyone for attending. I appreciate it.